Wes, hey, the one time where the Minnesota Wild always can feel comfortable, it seems, is in a low-scoring game. They haven't really been that team all year, but it's a low-scoring game, and they get the victory that they wanted in Game 1 on the road. And, man, like Marc-Andre Fleury made some massive saves. You know, could have been easily been 2-3-4-0.
Well, both goalies were unbelievable, but anytime the Wild play in a playoff game and it's 1-0, I had to check to see if Jacques Lemaire was behind the bench. But I didn't see him back there. So, but both goalies. I mean, it was a 1-0 game, but both teams had ended up with 30 and 40 shots. So I thought both goaltenders were unbelievable. I thought the Wild come out slow, and you know, anytime you go into Vegas, you just know you're going to get punched in the nose right away. But they did weather the storm. Cam Talbot had to make, you know, 3 or 4 really good grade A saves in the first period to keep it a 0-0 to get the Wild into the locker room. And then as the game went on, I started tilting back the other way. And this has kind of been the Wild's ammo all season long. I think over the last 25 games of the season here in Minnesota, like the last half of the season, I think the Wild outshot their opponents like 3 or 4 times out of the last 25. So it's something that we've never seen here in Minnesota before. Usually we get into the playoffs and we would outshoot teams and outchance teams and then lose in 4 or 5 games. And it's been a completely the opposite this year. You know, having Kirill Kaprizov and Kevin Fiala having a bunch of finishers. Eriksson Ek has had an unbelievable year this season, the kid that scored the overtime goal. So we're scoring. We've become more of a team that kind of is looking more for quality chances than quantity, and then getting their opportunity. When we get our opportunity to finish, we've been doing it all season long.
Do you think that if that game had lost for Wild, Hartman would have not been able to sleep for 2 days? I mean, it felt like every time there was a shot on goal, he was the one taking it for the Wild.
Oh, I know, man. That guy is going to need a few Ambien to sleep at night after that night. Like, I mean, he had like 5 or 6 grade A opportunities.
Yeah.
And it's funny when, about 6 or 7 games left in the season, Dean Evason juggled Hartman and Rask. Those are the only two centermen that they moved those guys onto different lines. And when Hartman had an opportunity to play with Kirill Kaprizov, he had so many scoring opportunities in the last few games and really was only able to cash in on 1 2-on-1 over the last 10 or 12 games. So he's had a whole bunch of scoring opportunities. And fortunately for the Wild, they didn't need it last night because Cam Talbot was so good. But I did say on the postgame show, I did reference, our ability to finish. And that's the reason why we did have such a successful season. He's going to get more opportunities like that. When he gets opportunities, guys, he's going to have to finish if the Wild want to have a chance to get by the Vegas Golden Knights.
Wes Wallace joins us on Edmonton Sports Leader TSN 1260. It definitely wasn't a normal 1-0 game when it comes to scoring chances and everything. You know, you look at Minnesota, they matched up well against Vegas all year long, like much better than they did Colorado. Why do you think that was?
I don't know. Guys, I've done 3 interviews today. I get asked that question every interview. It's unbelievable. I honestly don't even have a decent answer for you. I could make something up and say this is what I think it is. It's really just hard to explain. I don't know. I think speed through the neutral zone can give the Wild some problems. So I think, the Colorado is kind of an off-the-rush team more than Vegas, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Although Vegas doesn't like to dump, they don't like to give the puck up either, but they don't have quite as much speed through the neutral zone. And I think we handle that a little bit better, more of a half-court offense team. So that kind of plays on our hands as well. And our special teams this season, we were 5-1-2, during the regular season. Our special teams were unbelievable against Vegas during the regular season. But, yeah, it's one of those things that I can't really explain. But I do know this. I can't really explain it, but I'm sure if you're the Vegas Golden Knights and you're sitting in the locker room right now, you're like, are we going to ever beat these guys? And if you're Minnesota, you're sitting in that locker room going, are we ever going to lose to these guys? So it's starting to become a storyline, one that I kind of downplayed before the series. But to be honest with you, there might be more there than I'm giving it credit for.
joined by Minnesota Wild analyst Wes Wild. They got the first game in overtime. Wild, you know, you were a guy that took draws, and you know, I as a D-man, I hated when it felt like we lost every draw. To me, it looked like the Wild had their sticks turned over for the faceoffs because it felt like they'd never won, especially in the end zone. So, you know, am I being too critical of these lost faceoffs by these Wild forwards or centers?
I think we finished 28th or 29th in the faceoff circle, so I know that's the first time you guys have watched it because we haven't played against you guys, but that's sure. been happening all season long, and we've been able to survive it. I don't know how we've been able to survive winning faceoffs at a 44% clip, but it's been remarkable. And actually, going into this series, like, Vegas finished 20th in the faceoff circle, so I was kind of like, okay, well, we can hang with Vegas, but, I mean, we got crushed in the faceoff circle, and when the other team starts with a puck so often, it's difficult to create offense, and you always feel like they're coming. You can never get the puck back. And I think that's something over a six, seven game series, this is going to be a long series, that if it doesn't get straightened out, like you cannot continue to win faceoffs at a 37% clip, especially against the Vegas Golden Knights or Colorado or any of those top teams. If they start with a puck, it's going to be just a matter of time. You'll win a game or two here and there. You'll catch a few breaks. But that is, guys, that's a great point you brought up, and it's something that has to be better. And I'm not even saying you have to be 50-50. Even 48-52, 46, you just can't get crushed 30-70. So that's something that has to get cleaned up for sure if the Wild want to have any chance to advance past Vegas.
Wes, you've watched their centerman. You know, face-offs are a skill. There's no question about it, right? Sometimes it's determination and stuff. But what do you see lacking if it's been all year long? Why haven't their centers improved in the face-off dot?
Well, you kind of are who you are in the face-off circle. And the one thing that has changed in the last 10 years, like back when I played 15 years ago, I sound like, I got one, like put my teeth in the glass at 9:30 at night. Like when I used to play, But it is true. I retired 15 years ago, but even when I was playing, if somebody was crushing me all night, I would tell my wingers, listen, guys, I'm going to tie this guy up. There's going to be something laying around here.
Yeah.
I need you to get in here and kick it back. So I'm going to tie it up if I'm having a tough night. You can't tie guys up anymore. They won't let you cheat. So there's less pucks that are being scrummed up now. You're either snapping it back to your D, or it's going the other way. There ain't a whole lot of stuff scrummed up anymore. So, and I think that's a big reason why, because they don't allow that anymore. And I actually think it's great for the NHL. I think it creates more offense. And that's exactly what the NHL wanted. So we just don't have great centermen, in the faceoff circle. And it's Victor Rask has been there. Ryan Hartman started the season as a winger. He did play a little center and junior and, so he's not great in the faceoff circle. Even Eriksson Ek, his percentages are starting to come up here the last maybe 15 games where he's about 50%. But even Eriksson Ek I think he was 47% this year. But it's a weird phenomenon. And you know, a guy like Nick Bonino, a guy who's been taking faceoffs in playoffs forever, the last 3 or 4 years of his career, he's 34 years old now. Now all of a sudden he's a 54, 55% guy. You look at Nick Bonino early in his career when he was Eriksson Ek's age and when he was younger, he had a tough time getting to 45%. So as you play more games in the National Hockey League, you begin to understand more trends for a guy like Eriksson Ek, what guys like to do. You start to build a resume of different centermen around the league, and it gives you a chance to start to get some of those percentages back. But if it doesn't straighten out, guys, it's going to be hard to win this series. We've got to get closer to 50% for sure.
Well, I looked at their top three guys. Eriksson Ek was 38%. Victor Rask was 38%. Nick Bonino, well, it was 25%, and they took 18, 13, and 12. So they took basically 43 of the faceoffs for your team. Hartman was won 5 of 9. He was 55. And Bukestad won 4 of 7, 57. So maybe they just got to get Hartman and Bukestad to take more faceoffs. I don't know.
Well, the problem is, Hartman only takes, there's only two centermen.
Yeah.
Yeah, the D-zone faceoffs. We spend so much time in the defensive zone early in the game. And Dean Evason only trusts, Bonino, the fourth line, and the Eriksson Ek line. So now all of a sudden you got Eriksson Ek taking D-zone faceoffs and the fourth line, which has Nico Sturm and Nick Bonino. So those guys took so many faceoffs and really had a difficult time in the defensive zone. So when you're starting always with your third and fourth line in your own zone, you know, your offensive guys, they kind of can get out of a rhythm. So, Nick Bonino wasn't even taking faceoffs in the third period. It was something that I'd never seen all season long. Nico Sturm jumped in there on his strong faceoff dot. So even Nick Bonino was getting crushed by, I think it was Chandler Stevenson that had his number. So anyway, some nights, one guy's got your number and it's just not your night. And, hopefully it was just one of those nights for the Wild in the faceoff circle anyway.
You know, well, 100%. Now, to be honest, I watched only the second half of the game. I was outside working on my suntan. But from what I saw from the D, from the Wild, I thought they looked really comfortable. Like, you know, retrieving pucks, getting it out. Is that what you saw over the game? And, you know, that's got to be one of the advantages for this group of the Wild heading against the series.
Yeah, I mean, our D, I mean, that is the backbone of our team. I mean, Cam Talbot's been really good this season for us, but like our top 4D going, you know, Jared Spurgeon, Brodine, Dumba, and Suter, and even Carson Soucy. Cole is more of a role guy, you know, role guy, kills penalties, blocks shots. But we have five top defensemen that can go back there and you know, escape from forecheckers and get away and kind of escape yourself out of trouble. So I thought they did do a good job. I thought the Vegas, I mean, you can see their game plan. We don't have the biggest set of D. And you can see Vegas is really trying to get in there and finish their checks on Brodine and Spurgeon, thinking that they're going to go away. And so I think it's the right game plan for them. But I do think that the Wild defenseman did a good job of moving the puck quickly and getting out of the zone, especially the second half of the game. And that's something that's going to need to continue if you're the Wild.
Well, Wes, quickly, give me your thoughts on Colorado-St. Louis. Do you think the Blues have a realistic shot, or is Colorado too good?
Oh, man. You know what? With David Perron not being in the lineup tonight, I mean, that's tough to overcome. Tarasenko, I know, is going to play tonight, it sounds like, but he's not the Vladimir Tarasenko that we saw 3-4 years ago. They were in our division, so we saw them play a lot this year, obviously. He's not the dangerous Tarasenko that we saw 3-4 years ago when they won a Stanley Cup. He's just been battling so many injuries. And David Perron and Ryan O'Reilly, I mean, whew, those guys, when they're together, it's magic. You know, we saw it down the stretch here in some of the games later in the season. Having David Perron out of the lineup is going to hurt the St. Louis Blues. And Colorado, I mean, if you're watching, you know, what's happened the first 2 days of the playoffs, there's been four games that the top seeds have lost all four games. And if you're in Colorado and you're looking at that, you're like, we better be ready, you know, cause they're, you know, these teams are coming in that are the underdogs and, you know, pulling games out of home building. So we got to make sure that we're ready. I know St. Louis has got some cup cred for sure. Guys, I don't think they have a chance. That's just my opinion, especially with David Perron out. If he's out for more than 2 or 3 games, it's going to be tough to overcome.
No, I'd agree with you, Wes. Always good to catch up with you. We appreciate it. Enjoy game 2 and the rest of the series.
All right. Anytime, boys.